Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Burden. Thanks so much for tuning into our Every Nation channel. And I got news for you. God's got a word for you. God's got a word for you today. And listen, we're going to take a break from our ABC series. And the reason being is actually this Sunday at our church on July 21st, we're actually having what we're calling New York Jets Sunday. And we're going to have three of the New York Jets out at our church to share their testimony about how Jesus Christ has absolutely revolutionized and changed their life. And so we're going to videotape that and get that up online as quick as possible. You're not going to want to miss it, so be on the lookout for it. But for today, I have a different message for you, and it's something I've just titled, We Are Family. We Are Family. And so maybe I'll start this way. So for those of you that are new to us, hey, before doing this, I played in the National Hockey League for 14 years, right? Natural transition. Pro hockey player, you know, getting beat up to now beating the Bible into people as a pastor, right? But that was kind of my journey. And I don't know if you realize this, but oftentimes athletic teams, pro teams will have kind of a song, their song for the season, right? And so it's not always like you think either. So for example, 1 year on my team, our team theme song was Brandy, right? And so that song was old then, all right? Maybe you remember it, Brandy, you're a fine girl, right? They actually brought it back in the movie Guardians in the Galaxy, of the Galaxy. If you have not seen that movie, shame on you. It's awesome. And so Brandy was our theme song. Then another year, we had another song that you can imagine would just get us so riled up to defeat our opponents, and that song was the Pina Colada song. It's actually the title of the song is actually Escape, but you remember how it goes, if you like Pina Colada. That was actually our team song. By the way, a little side note, do you know that the original lyric wasn't if you like Pina Colada? The original lyric was supposed to be if you like Humphrey Bogart and getting caught in the rain, but they switched it up at the very last second, all right? And aren't you glad they did? And so now you can see why all my teams stunk and never won anything, because we had ridiculous theme songs. But you can win with a ridiculous theme song, because get this, back in 2019, the St. Louis Blues of the National Hockey League, they had never won a Stanley Cup or a championship before, and they found themselves just mired in mediocrity in the 2019 season. Until before a game in Philadelphia, they went to a local bar, and there they kept playing the song Gloria by Laura Branigan, right? Once again, not actually like a tough macho song. And I guess the song, they just loved it. Maybe they had a little bit too much to drink. But the next day they went out and they beat the Philadelphia Flyers and went on an epic run all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they actually wound up winning their very first Stanley Cup, and their theme song that everyone in St. Louis picked up was the song Gloria. And so I guess I'll kick off our message today by, there's another team, a Major League Baseball team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, who for the record have just been always garbage. But this particular year is back in 1979. Once again, they too were mired in mediocrity. In fact, one of the games, there was a rain delay. And so the team captain, Willie Stargell, he was just kind of in the dugout, chilling out. And the ballpark was playing like the top 40 list. And the number four song came out. It was the song, We Are Family. It actually is a little bit cooler tune to it. We are family, hey, right? There's a little bit of bounce to it. And so it was by Sister Sledge. And Willie Stargell was instantly captivated by the song. Right there in the dugout, he called the PR department and he says, hey, this is our official song this year. And as he hung up the phone with that song in the background, the Pittsburgh Penguins went on to the baseball championship and won. Man, that song galvanized a team, and get this, even a city. This idea that we are family. And I want to tell you something. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, do you know what that means? That means you and I, we're family. We're family. We just are. And the Bible has a lot to say about the family of God or the church. And so we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We'll read verses 9 through 12. The term Ecclesiastes, it simply means preacher or teacher. And so in the theme of the book of Ecclesiastes, it's this idea of finding out, hey, what's really the secret to life? Like, what is the meaning to life? And the preacher or the teacher is going to go on all these little excursions to see if it's money or it's sex or it's power or if it's comfort, all these different things. And the answer is no, 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 no. In fact, the author is going to say this, all of those things are vanity of vanities. It's the Hebrew word hevel. It means smoke. It's this idea where you can see it and then you go to grasp it and it's gone. And it's the same way if you chase these other things, trying to satisfy your life with secondary things. And at the end of the book, the preacher, the teacher, he says this, you want to know what the meaning of life is? It is to love God and obey his commandments. That's the secret to life. And so we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 9. One other thing I got to remind us of is that in Ecclesiastes, in our text today, the teacher, the preacher, is going to remind us how important family is. It's interesting. Do you know that Harvard did an 85-year study? You need to think in, let that sink in. 85-year study. So people were born and died during this study. And over the 85-year study, they're trying to figure out what's the secret to happiness. And here's what they boiled it down to: having life-giving relationships. And so if you have life-giving relationships, man, you'll live longer. You'll be happier. Your mental health is better. You'll actually make more money. All these different things, all the variables for human flourishing go up if we have life-giving relationships. And God's designed for you not to walk alone, to be empty and alone, but rather, it says this, the scriptures say that God takes the solitary and he puts them into family. So we'll be in Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. The preacher or the teacher says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Verse 11, again, if two lie down together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so let's just break down these four verses. They're simple but profound. Verse 9, I'll read it again. It says that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. And so I'll just start with this, that being in a family, in a spiritual family, it's going to increase your production. In other words, you're going to get more done in your life if you walk together with other believers. And so let me just a quick snapshot. Like I mentioned, when I retired from the NHL back in 2002, I immediately went into athletic ministry down in Austin, Texas. And so my family and I, we moved and we bought a home in Austin, Texas. And before we could really unpack and get out of boxes in our new home, I went to pastor school. Yes, there is such a thing. And so I'm in pastor school while my wife is unpacking our new home in Austin to start this new chapter in our life. And then I'm approached by a couple leaders in our Every Nation family, and they challenged me, and they said, we believe you're to help Pastor Ron Lewis plant the church in Manhattan. I'm like, well, I'm fine with that, but someone's going to have to tell my wife who's unpacking our new home in Austin, Texas, right? but my mind was blown because God must have been in it because my wife was on board. And so then we had to sell the home that we hadn't yet unpacked all the boxes yet. And not only did we sell the home there, we sold most everything we had. That'll be for another sermon, another day. My wife is still expresses sorrow over that day selling her stuff. But then, get this, my wife and one of my daughters flew to New York where they were awaiting us. And my youngest daughter and I and our two dogs, we loaded up a 26-foot long U-Haul with a 10-foot U-Haul trailer on the back of it. So I loaded both those trucks by myself with furniture and stuff. It literally took years off my life. And no, have I mentioned? I've had 5 back surgeries, okay? And so I loaded up this U-Haul, and my youngest daughter and I and 2 dogs. There's a bench seat in this U-Haul truck. We're driving. I have a golden retriever, a cocker spaniel, and my youngest daughter. And we're making the 26-yard trek, man. The air conditioner breaks. And so it's in the middle of summer. We got the windows down. And if you can imagine just the swirl of dog hair sticking on your face. And it was an absolute nightmare and beatdown. And so after having no sleep and moved the house by myself, I arrive in Manhattan. And who is waiting for me there? A group of 5 men. One is a guy, John Pringle, who's in our church right now. I don't even know these men, but they were sent over by the church to help me unload my furniture and get it into our new Manhattan apartment. And I say all that to say this, man, those 5 men, they increased the production in my life. Like, man, just me trying to do it all by myself was an absolute beatdown. But yet to see these other men that they decided, hey, they don't even know who I am, and yet they've come to help. And so, man, being in spiritual family, it'll increase your production, man. You'll get more done with less. I'm sure you've heard this saying before. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And really, the kingdom of God is like that. If you want to go far in your Christian walk, then you got to go together. You got to go with spiritual family. You know, I've shared this story a billion times. Let's make it 1,000,000,001. You know, I never got to win a Stanley Cup or a championship in the National Hockey League, but I did play in the longest game ever. And so I was playing for Philadelphia, and we were playing against the Pittsburgh Penguins in the playoffs. The game started at 7:30 at night. It ended at 3:30 in the morning, right? It was this epic game, and it was amazing. The game kept going on, and like we were getting exhausted. At one point in between periods, they had to actually call a pizza place to come. And can you imagine the knock on our door in our professional locker room? And here's the pizzas, man. A cheese pie never tasted so good. In fact, some of our players, our star players, were starting to cramp up because they had lost so many electrolytes and fluids. So they had to get intravenous bags. And so our locker room looked more like an emergency room, man. And so that was going on. And I believe it's Coach Vince Lombardi that said, man, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And you could feel the will to win and to fight. It was starting to drain out as fatigue set into our team. And I don't know who started it, but I can tell you what it did for me. Like, as we were all sitting in our lockers, just a little bit exhausted, I don't know who started doing it, but one by one, each guy would look to his right and to his left and would ask his teammate, hey, do you have to be anywhere tonight? Do you have to go anywhere? Hey, how about you, man? And the guys would respond, no, I don't have to be anywhere. I can play all night if we have to. And they're like, me too. I don't have to go anywhere. I'm going to play all night till we win. And suddenly, man, all this life was pumped back into the team. And it's a picture, man. There's strength in numbers, man. Spiritual family is going to increase your production. You'll get more done. In fact, during that same game, get this, I got a penalty. And so this is sudden death overtime. Whoever scores next wins, and I get a penalty. What that means is I go to the penalty box, and our team is down a man. And so the other team has an extra attacker. They call it a power play. And man, I did what every Christian did. I was like, I started cutting a deal with God, right? If Christians did such things, man, I'm like, please, God, don't let them score on this power play. Lord, get me out of this. I promise I'll tithe more. I'll do this. If Christians did such things, right? But hey, praise God, they didn't score. We wound up winning. But I say all that to say this, man, it's been my observation that I see so many Christians, man, they're playing a man down, that the enemy has a power play in their life, and you're losing. Why? Because, man, you've been called to live the Christian life and walk with other people. It's spiritual family, man. It'll increase your production. Let's look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. And so this is the idea that being in spiritual family, it'll increase your protection. It says, man, woe to one who is alone when he falls. There's no one there to help him get back up again. And so, man, being in family, it increases your protection. And I'll illustrate it this way, man. There's an amazing YouTube video. Do not go to it now. And it's called this, The Battle at Kruger Pass. And so it's actually footage from South Africa's Kruger National Park. And it's this amateur footage. And they're looking at this, there's this herd of Cape buffalo. And so they're there. And then suddenly you see one of the baby buffalo get out from amongst the herd. And he starts going off on his own. And you know that's never good, right? And so the camera pans off and there's a pride of lions up in the tall grass. And you can see the lioness start to stalk this little baby buffalo. Sure enough, they go out, pounce, and they chase this little buffalo. The buffalo goes down to this little moat of water and the lion grabs a hold of the baby buffalo. But just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, a crocodile comes out of this moat, grabs the baby buffalo, and now there's a tug of war between the lioness and the crocodile, right? So listen, if you ever think you're having a bad day, no way. No one could have a worse day than this baby buffalo. And so as they're pulling back and forth, but then the footage shifts and you see suddenly that the crocodile releases the buffalo. And now the lioness is a little not disoriented, doesn't know why that happened. And then the lioness turns around and looks, and there's this herd of buffalo moving forward. The lioness spits the baby buffalo out, and then what happens, man? This herd of buffalo, they just hit this lioness. It flies up into the air some 10 feet into the sky, right? And what happens? Little baby buffalo gets up and goes back into the herd. And that, my friend, is spiritual family. Man, you are called to walk in a spiritual family. That, man, you're not to go off on your own, because there's a man, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. But praise God, God's given us spiritual family that it might, we might protect and pray for one another. Because every single one of us has had the dark night of the soul. You just have. And so in those moments, man, do you have someone there to help pick you up when you're down? Do you know, if you know Michael Phelps, he's the most decorated Olympian of all time. And if you know Michael Phelps' story, I mean, like he's got 28 total medals, 23 of them are gold. Okay. I mean, this guy and all that success in the pool afforded him, man, a fortune. He's worth an estimated $100 million. So with all that going for him, surely, man, his life, he never goes through a wilderness or a dark season. Wrong. Okay. Because after one of the Olympic Games, what happened? He retired, and then, man, he just started to spiral downward. And for whatever reason, he fell into a deep, dark depression. He turned to alcohol. And from there, it just spiraled down worse and worse and worse, till finally he had to check himself into a rehab center. But praise God that Phelps had other people in his life. And who came to visit him in the rehab center? None other than Hall of Famer Ray Lewis. He's a NFL Hall of Fame player. Ray Lewis is also an overt Christian. And he came and he brought a gift for Michael Phelps. He came to encourage him and give him the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. It was written by Pastor Rick Warren. And just Phelps devoured it while he was in rehab. And here's what it did. It connected him to his purpose and back to his God, right? And man, I pray that you have people like that in your life. Oh, did I mention that Phelps would go on to win a few more gold medals after that, right? And so, man, God, all of us are going to have the dark night of the soul. Do you have someone in your life that is there to rescue you when you need it most? Do you know, if you pay attention to your scriptures, man, the scriptures, they use military terms in our walk, in our fight against the devil. Like it says that the devil, he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But God, it's funny, he references the church or the body of Christ in like military terms, man. He talks about fighting the good fight of faith, that we're to put on the full armor of God, that we don't battle against flesh and blood, what? But against principalities and powers, against rulers and of darkness and the heavenly realms. And so so we use this military language around the church. And you've been called to walk in an army. In fact, the army, what they'll do is they'll have these little slogans. I'm sure you remember them, like in order to help recruiting. So remember one year it was kind of be all you can be, get an edge on life, join the army, right? That was kind of their slogan for quite a while. And then they changed it. And here was their big motto, their big mantra was this: be an army of one, right? It sounds so amazing, right? Be an army of one. I don't need anybody. I can do this on my own. And then they realized how dumb a saying that is, because you know what? An army of one gets killed, okay? It just does. And so they changed it to the term army strong. Why? Because you and I were better together. And man, not just in the army, to the Navy SEALs, man, they have this thing it's called BUDS training, where you're training in order to become a Navy SEAL. And so they actually, man, these young cadets, they try to drown proof these cadets. In other words, they get so used to the water that they drown proof them. So they're as they're testing them in their pool, there's something that came to be known as the death swim. And the reason why, quite literally, that people have died doing this test. And so what they would do is they would tie the cadets' hands behind their back, and they would tie their feet at their ankles. And then you have to jump into the deep end of the pool, touch the bottom of the pool back and forth 20 times, and then swim the length of the pool to the shallow end, flip, you can't touch bottom, go back to the deep end, you have to do a front somersault, a rear somersault, and then you swim to the bottom and pick up an underwater mask with your teeth. And then the test is finished, right? And so they've actually had cadets drowned and die doing this. And so here's what they've done. They've instituted your swim buddy. And that's the individual, man, that their eye is just fixed on you as you go through this test. And to keep their eye on you, and their sole mission is to make sure you stay alive. And I guess I got to ask you, do you have a swim buddy in your life? Man, someone that's going to pray for you, intercede for you, keep their eye on you, right? You need to be a swim buddy and have a buddy. Like the Apostle Paul was a pretty big deal in your Bible. And funny, it's sometimes we can read and just think he's just this lone ranger. And if you read Paul's life, it's just not true. He had all these people, Aquila and Priscilla, Timothy and Titus. And then they had his one companion, Luke. I would submit to you that Luke was Paul's swim buddy. Luke was a doctor and a physician. And I promise you, he was, after all the beatings and imprisonments of Paul, he was probably keeping Paul alive. And so do you have a swim buddy in your life? You and I have been called to spiritual family, right? And so spiritual family, number three, verse 11, we read about this. It says that, again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And so I'd say this, that spiritual family, it increases your passion. Spiritual family increases your passion. And so you're not meant to do the Christian life alone, man. You'll just kind of burn out and fade out. So I've been the New York Jets chaplain since 2008, and I remember one season Coach Rex Ryan invited me in before the big game against the Giants. And so I'm in the dressing room, and all the guys are in their gear, and you know, they got the war paint on, and man, they're ready to go. But Coach Rex, he says, hey, Adam, would you lead us in the Lord's Prayer? And so we all took a knee. I had Rex Ryan in one hand and Dustin Keller, the tight end, in the other. And then I thought, oh, I hope I remember the Lord's Prayer. And then, man, we started to thunder out, Our Father, who art in heaven. And then all the men joined in, and we prayed this prayer together, and it was powerful. And then we got up from our knees, and then all of the players started like screaming all these profanities. Let's go bleed blankety beat these guys. I was like, what happened to the Lord's Prayer, fellas? So, but do you know that before an NFL game, most NFL teams, they have another prayer that they pray before they take to the field, and it's called Shower Up. And what happens, the believers on the team, they gather together in the shower. It increases kind of the echo and the power, and it's player led. And the player will pray out a prayer for the team and the teammates. And you start just praying, Father, help us to battle well in Jesus' name, right? And they just start yelling out all these things, and you got to say it like this, Jesus. And I remember being in there for the shower up prayer, and man, I was so charged up afterwards. I was like, I got to hit somebody or something, but I can't because I'm a pastor. And so, but what happens, man, my passion was increased as I was around other believers. And so How about this? I would say, if any of you are pyros out there, like I remember growing up, I was a pyro and my father proceeded to beat that out of me, right? And so I'm a recovering pyro, but my wife is not. She is an active pyromaniac. Like she's the one who always builds the fire, the campfire and things like that. And so she builds a fire, man. It's like, but she has, it can't be a romantic fire. It's one of those fires that, you know, you put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in, right? You can't even, it's a fiery furnace, man. You can't even sit next to it. But that's neither here nor there. My point is this, is that if you remove a coal from the fire, it burns out very, very quickly. But if you get a bunch of coals and you gather them all together, what happens? The heat increases and intensifies and it lasts longer. And that's the Christian life. That's why it says in the book of Hebrews, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. What is that but putting all the coals together? And it helps, it keeps us red hot on fire for God. And so spiritual family, it increases your passion. You know, there's a guy in your New Testament and the book of Acts in particular, his name is Joseph, and Joseph had a nickname. I don't know about you. Do you like nicknames? Like I'm a big nickname guy, man. My daughter Cassie, I call her Bear. My daughter Elizabeth, I call her Lizzie Lou. My wife, her nickname is Beauty, right? And so I'm a big nickname guy. And apparently they were too back in the early church because they called Joseph Barnabas. And Barnabas, that name means son of encouragement. Like this guy, when you were around this guy, man, he just brought so much life to you. He was a life speaker and would speak life into those around him that they had to give him the nickname. Man, you're such an encourager. You are a son of encouragement, right? And so here's what I got to ask you. Are you a son or a daughter of encouragement? Like when you're around other people, man, do you just speak life over them and into their situation? Or are you Debbie Downer, man, that when you're around, you just notice that everything that's negative, bad, and wrong. Listen, we got the entire world in social media for that. Man, you need to be different and be a life speaker like Barnabas. Do you know, there was once again, getting back to the Navy SEALs thing, is, man, I read a book, it's called Make Your Bed by Admiral McRaven, and it's a great read, a real quick read as well, but he goes over this thing called Hell Week, and Hell Week, they keep you up, they train you for roughly six straight days, and in the 6 days, you get a total of 4 hours sleep, so it's absolutely, it pushes you to your brain. Breaking point. And so they keep these cadets, man, just tired, calisthenics 24/7, wet and cold. And so one of the training areas is the Tijuana mud flats. And so they go there and it's this thick, freezing cold mud. They take them through the night doing calisthenics in this mud. It is exhausting and you just want to quit. And so then they try to mentally wear you down and they'll challenge the cadets by saying, hey, all you have to do is quit. Just quit. We have a warm coffee and a warm fire, some chicken soup that you can have. All you have to do is throw in the towel and quit. And as you can see, man, the will to fight was draining out of these men. One of the cadets moved to quit, to throw in the towel. And as he did, one guy grabbed him and he broke free. But somebody in the cadets started singing a song. And another one joined in, and another one joined in, and another. And the song captivated this man who was about to quit and throw in the towel. And he came back into the group like that. What happens, man? Man, his passion was reignited by the other cadets, his brothers. And that's what happens, man. Like Paul and Silas, man, they're sitting in a Philippian jail. What happens, man? But together, in moments like that, you don't need a solo. You need a duet. Paul and Silas start singing together a hymn. And you know what happens? Man, their passion was increased. And not only that, man, the power of God came in, shook that jail, flew open the doors, man, and Paul and Silas went free. And so it's the power of spiritual family, man. It'll increase your passion. And then last but not least, we'll get into verse 12. Verse 12, it reads like this. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so the fourth point is this, is man, spiritual family, it increases your power. It increases your power, man. So here's what I guess I'll illustrate it this way. I'm not proud of this moment, but So occasionally I'll have to do men's events, and so they'll ask me, hey, do you have any like highlights from your hockey playing days? And I was like, I don't know. So I'm not a very good media guy, you know. But anyways, I went on the Philadelphia Flyers website, and then there was a section that says Adam Burt's highlights. I was like, who knew, right? I'm thinking, man, I'm hitting somebody, man, scoring a goal, doing something, right? And sure enough, I click on the link, and my highlight was two guys, Thomas Caverly and Ty Domi, were absolutely beating the tar out of me. Two guys, they two-on-one me and were beating the snot out of me. And I thought, come on, man, that's my highlight? Come on, man. But let me give you the backstory to that. I was with Philadelphia, and we were in Toronto, and a five-on-five fight broke out. That's where each man pairs up with another man and you fight mano a mano. And so what happens is I have a guy, I believe his name was Thomas Caverly. He's a European guy and they don't do a lot of fighting. And so, I felt bad for the guy because he wasn't a super tough guy. Not that I am, but I was like, hey man, I'm not going to be the only one not fighting. So I started like to swing. And then what happens is Ty Domi, Toronto's tough guy, got loose. And then, man, they two-on-one'd me. And so suddenly, man, I was doing good. But two, I'm overpowered. And that's the Christian life, man. I can't begin to tell you, you know, the demons most often are smarter than most Christians that I know. See, because the Bible says that a demon, when he's cast out, he'll go get seven other demons stronger than himself and come back again. But you and I, what happens? You and I fail or get beat at sin, and what do? We isolate, man, we hide, we pretend, right? That's not the way we're designed to do this. You're designed to walk in family, to invite people into your struggle, that they might battle. And just like I was two-on-one, man, you can two-on-one, three-on-one, four-on-one, man, sin and the devil, and you're surely going to win. You're going to win. And so Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, remember after the day of Pentecost and Peter preaches the first message and 3,000 people are added to the church. And there is this dynamic that marked the early church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And I want to just pull out and highlight that word fellowship. It's the word koinonia in the Greek. You can hear the word coin. Do you know a coin has the heads and tails, and they're so closely tied together, you don't know where heads stops and tail starts, right? And that's a picture of koinonia. Two people, man, doing life so closely together. It's powerful. It's called fellowship. That sounds weak, but maybe I can illustrate it this way. Before I do, I have to make something crystal clear. So we are very strict on doctrine here at Every Nation New Jersey. All right. So we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in salvation by grace through faith alone, man. And so these are some things that are rock solid. And if you don't believe those things, you're probably not going to want to come to our church. And this fourth thing, if you don't believe this, you're definitely not welcome in our church. Iron Man is the greatest Avenger of all time, and I'm not hearing anything else of Thor or Black Panther or any of these other guys, right? It's Iron Man. And so if you've seen Iron Man 2, man, there's this scene where the enemy surrounds Iron Man and Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle's got himself an Iron Man suit. And so they're surrounded by the enemy. There's no way out and no escape and no way forward. And so what do? They go back to back with one another. And then they just start wrecking shop to the enemy, fighting the enemy back to back. And that is a picture of koinonia, that you and I, man, we're to walk in spiritual family. And we walk with our spiritual brothers and sisters, and we fight the enemy back to back. I got your back, and you got my back. And that's the way it's supposed to work. And so I'll close our time with this. Man, you and I, we've been called to walk in family. We are a spiritual family. And so I'm a big movie guy. And so if you've seen the movie Miracle, you'll remember this powerful scene. But do you know the United States men's Olympic hockey team back in 1980, it's still the greatest sporting moment in our nation's history. And that was when, this team of young collegiate players, they weren't even pros. It wasn't a dream team. They weren't professionals. They shocked the world. Al Michaels, Hall of Fame broadcaster Al Michaels, he challenged us, do you believe in miracles? And after that moment, we did. But do you remember how this team came together? like Coach Herb Brooks, he had the daunting task of taking a bunch of individuals and somehow bonding them together as a team. And so what he did, there's this one classic scene in the film where he skates his players back and forth, back and forth. He uses the word again and again and again, and he's grinding these men down to nothing. And these exhausted players, periodically Coach Brooks would bark out, "Hey, so-and-so, who do you play for?" And inevitably they would say their collegiate team. And he's like, "Wrong answer, again." And he starts skating them again and again. And just when you think they were just gonna, they're all gonna die of fatigue, Captain Mike Eruzioni, he barks out, "Mike Eruzioni from Winthrop, Massachusetts." And now Herbs is intrigued. And he asks him the question, "Who do you play for?" And Eruzioni fights for his breath. And he says this, "I play for the United States of America." Boom. They got it. And in that moment, a group of individuals, they became a team. And that team, man, they went on and they did the miraculous and won the gold medal. And they galvanized the team and a nation together, where you could hear chants, "USA, USA, USA." And so that is kind of the big idea for us, man, that there's, do you believe in miracles? Because here's the miracle. The miracles happen when we walk together in spiritual family. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this time. And Lord, I thank you for the church. Jesus, that you set the solitary and placed them into family. And you know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, do you know that it's as easy as ABC? Here, A just means you need to admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. B means you need to believe. You believe that Jesus lived the perfect life and died the death on your part, on your behalf, on the cross. And C is confess Jesus as both your Savior and your Lord. Lord means that now He's the boss. He's the ruler of your life. Man, salvation is as simple as A, admitting you're a sinner, B, believing on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and confessing Him as Lord and Savior. And Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, for everyone that prays that prayer, may they know today is the day they've become a part of the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen.